You're listening to The Wicked Horror Show, powered by the Dorkening Podcast Network. For more information, check out thedorkening.com.
This episode of Wicked Horror Show is broadcast live to Facebook. In this episode, we revisit the movie 420 Massacre. We're joined by director and writer Dylan Reynolds. We're also joined by some stars from the movie, Vanessa Rose Parker and Stacey Danger. What a cool name. And as always, if you like what you hear, head over to facebook.com/thedorkening every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for a live show just like this one. Also head over to thedorkening.com and check out all the other shows that are part of the Dorkening Podcast Network. And last but not least, check out our sponsors, Deadly Grounds Coffee. Head over to deadlygroundscoffee.com and check out some awesome Java for your veins. It's good stuff. But first, enjoy the show.
Here we go. With us today, we have Kevin.
What's going on, everybody?
Wolfman.
Oh!
Sorry, guys.
Tony has nine fingers.
What is going on, people?
Yo-yo.
Hey, everybody.
And guest camera number one, we have Dylan and Vanessa Reynolds. Hello.
Hello.
Camera number two, we have Stacey Danger.
Hi.
Oh. Very cool last name, by the way.
I know, I love it.
I'm very jealous. My last name sucks. Dude, that Danger's cool.
And now
people commented, we have Stacey Danger and another actor's named Jim Storm. And a couple people commented, like, what's up with the names in these movies?
They're amazing. That's what's up with them. Yeah.
Sound like a tag team wrestling, you know.
Real.
Danger and Storm.
So we're talking today about the movie 420 Massacre. We had a previous show with Jamie Bernadette, and I want to bring you guys to talk more about it. To start things off, though, we'd love to play the trailer. And Dylan, would you like to introduce the trailer?
Sure. This is the trailer for 420 Massacre.
Okay.
The end. Yeah.
How far is it?
3-4 miles?
I'm telling you, though, this place is super creepy.
What are you girls doing out here?
On our way up to Higgins Creek.
Yeah, we're going to camp there for the weekend.
All five of you.
They run afoul of a legal marijuana grow operation and get chased and hacked up.
Awesome. Oh, no.
You're out here by your lonesome, huh?
Listen, we have an issue up here with gorilla growers.
Are you serious?
It's 420. It is our collective duty to blaze up on this day.
What in God's name are you talking about?
Happy birthday! Love you. Do you hear that?
Help me! It's coming for me!
Why would someone want to kill you?
The wind.
Rachel, where are you?
Okay, we are... Oh, Wolfie's camera... It was not. I lied. I absolutely lied.
you're a pro.
Yeah. Billy Baird says the movie looks great. Gonna see it as soon as Family Video has it in stock.
It is available today at Family Video. At least, I don't know if it's in all the stores, but it came out today on Family Video. So
there you go.
Yeah.
We don't have Family Video here.
No.
The good thing is you can buy from Family Video online.
I don't know if it's available for DVD online.
No?
Do they do the mail order DVD thing? Like, Netflix or? Oh, they do?
Yeah. Yep. Because I've actually bought some like previously viewed movies from them. So is the cameras all set, Leo? Or no?
No. But actually, I do have the camera for Vanessa and Dylan.
Oh,
All right, so I'll just ask some questions. You can leave the camera on them.
Go for it.
Anyways, so the one thing I was very surprised about with this one, and we talked about I talked about this when we were talking to Jamie about the movie, is that I'm normally not a person who's into like drug culture, like movies in general, right? But I still really enjoyed this movie. Usually it's like a fault of mine. Like I'm just like, I'm not a fan of that. But still, like, there's been other movies that are like bigger budget movies that have to do with that. And it's too much. And I'm like, all right, calm down. How about having an actual story? And this surprised me. It's a lower budget movie, but you guys still kept it. You know, it wasn't just about that. It wasn't like that's the one thing. And I think we brought it up on the show is that we felt like it may have been almost like everyone's just going to assume that that's all it's about. So they may dismiss it, but I don't know. I mean, I definitely think everyone should check it out because I still thought it was done very well. And it kind of took me out of that whole, I'm not a big fan of that stuff, you know, but it's just me.
It's not your thing.
Well, thank you.
Well, thank you. Glad you enjoyed it. Yeah. We kind of attempted to do a Trojan horse kind of situation with it where, you know, ostensibly it's a stoner slasher movie, but we tried to make it with characters that were that you would like, that you cared about before they died. You know, Stacy plays a stoner character. Like, she's partially the comic relief, you know, the usual typical stoner character, but we with her performance and the way we approached it is do it a little more realistically, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think to piggyback on that, one of the things that we wanted to show is that everybody smokes weed. I mean, it doesn't define who you are as a human being.
Right.
And instead of being like that was the whole point of each individual character, try to make them whole people where that's just one aspect of their personality.
Right. Yeah. And that's the thing is like you see a lot of movies that, I mean, at least I've come across a lot of movies that maybe reference it in the title or, you know, that they base it as a stoner or whatever movie. And that's pretty much all the movie is that, you know,
right.
it would be like watching a movie like, hey, yeah, this everyone just drinks beer the whole time in this movie. it'd make no sense. But I mean, and that's the thing is like with a name like 420 Massacre, I went into it being like, I don't know. And I was pleasantly surprised.
Yay.
So it's a good thing.
That was our hope and goal for people's reaction to it.
So what you're succeeded. Is our Trojan horse worked.
It totally worked, yeah. And I'm glad I watched it because I'll be honest, if it was something that I just came across on Netflix, I probably would have skipped over it because of the, you know, just because of that's just my personal whatever. Right, exactly. So that's why, you know, it's making me rethink things. You know, maybe I should give things more of a chance. Watch some trailers, even. Because the trailer's good.
Oh, thanks. Well, we weren't sure if we were going to just alienate all of our potential audiences because we have so many different genres kind of going at the same time. It kind of starts as one thing and it evolves. Mm-hmm. And we're like, well, did we just lose our 15-year-old boys? Oh, did we just lose our, you know? So,
I totally think I had one worry about it, about the way we did it is, as you said, there's the audience that's going to gravitate towards that title probably won't like the more drama aspects or whatever of it, and the audience that would probably would enjoy the title won't pick up a movie called 420 Massacre.
Yeah.
So kind of
yeah.
But hopefully, I think that's how cult movies, you know, come about. So hopefully, mm-hmm. you know, it finds its audience.
Appreciate it. And again, yeah, I mean, it's something that I would definitely recommend to people to check out. You know. Just based off of the quality of the movie alone, I just, you know,
there was
really cool kills and there was, you know, it was great acting, great story. So yeah, I mean, all around I enjoyed it. So Wolfie.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I mean, just to jump on the title thing. I mean, the Rocky Horror Picture Show was a failure when it came out just because people didn't know what to expect when they went to go see it. They got a musical. So, I mean, that turns into a midnight movie and a cult classic. Anything can happen to 420 Massacre, you know. I'm with Kev. I'm not really big into the drug thing, you know, but I saw the word massacre. That was the only thing that really, you know, I glommed onto that part of the title. It's like I know what 420 is, but I just kind of like thought about you know, skipping that part. Like, I want to see what happens at a 420 massacre. Is it like someone, you know, getting a bong through the head, or, you know, I had different ideas.
And that was what I was talking about. Like, I had some really cool kills. There was like, you use what you had, and it was like, I don't know. They looked cool. Like, the way you did it, it was all, you know, obviously all practical. It was just done well. I mean, I don't know what your budget was, but it always amazes me.
Did we have a budget?
Budget? Who's that?
We had a really talented special effects guy named Brennan Jones, who was basically, you know, the budget is what we had. So I went around to the special effects schools and, said, who's your passionate and, you know, best student kind of thing. Interviewed a few people, and Brennan's a younger guy, but got all the Tom Savini references and stuff. So that was our, that's what we tried to accomplish.
Also, we did him the worst, like the most disservice ever, because we filmed this thing in 10 days. We were very much go, 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 go. We'd be like, okay, how much time do you need to do this? And he'd be like, 40 minutes. And we're like, great, you got 10. He was such a great sport and worked really hard under pressure, and he's amazing. Everybody with budgets, go hire this kid. He's great. Brennan Jones.
Yeah, that's the one thing, like, you know, we start to see.
Daisy came over!
Oh my goodness.
I was like, is she coming back ever? Here, I'm good, you guys, I'm good.
Hey.
The biggest question is like, how'd you get in the house? Like,
I heard the door click and I was like, what the fuck just happened?
How come the dogs aren't barking? They must know the.
I thought I locked the gate, actually.
I paid someone a lot of money to let me in that game.
Nice. What were you saying, Leo?
Oh, so we have some comments. Horror Show Entertainment says, hey, Dylan. Dylan, I sent you a message on Facebook involving the screener you sent me. It didn't work. They'd love to review the movie on 420.
Yeah, we had general issues with We had general issues with some pirating and sharing of the screener link because people suck. So we kind of could have put a kibosh on reviewers. I didn't see that message. Did you send it to my personal one or?
Well, what I'll do is, let's see. So Horror Show Entertainment, if you want to message me, and I'll get that message to them if you're having issues.
Oh, that'd be cool. Maybe it just slipped through. But yeah. But the general reason is, we had some issues.
People stink. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
People were sharing the password, and then our views were just going up exponentially, and we're like,
I didn't send the screener out to that many people. You know?
Yeah, that's
a compliment that people wanted to watch it, but. You know.
Yeah.
Either way, it's pretty crappy. It doesn't. Yeah. It doesn't help. It doesn't help you when you're trying to sell the movie and actually make your money back.
Yeah.
On it. You know. Yeah. But that's crazy. Well, thank you for letting us see the screener. That was, you know, that worked out. I shared it to all my friends. I'm just kidding. I didn't do any of that. I'm sorry.
We could do that. What?
No.
I'm kidding. So this is a good time of a movie, I'll say that much. But Dylan, I mean, honestly, you're the writer on the movie. It's like, where did you come up with the idea?
Well, besides the obvious inspirations, the herbal inspirations, I was sitting around brainstorming. I know I knew I wanted to make a horror movie for my next project. And at some point, the title 420 Massacre came into my head. I figured that was a good exploitation title, you know, you could do something with that. And some of the stuff kind of happened at the same time, but I was doing some research on illegal marijuana operations, and apparently it's an issue at some national parks that people have these illegal grow operations, and unwitting hikers come upon them and get shot at, or there's booby traps and that kind of thing. So I was like, all right, cool. So like a weed farmer is the slasher thing. And then with 420, and then when I was doing more research on 420 and April 20th, there was kind of coincidences where besides the weed holiday thing, it was the Columbine Massacre and the birth of Hitler. She has a whole monologue thing that she had to memorize about all these.
Yeah.
All this stuff. So I So I was like, all right, that's kind of interesting. So then it was like, all right, it's Friday 13th, but with weed, you know? So that was the idea, and it kind of came built from there.
Well, good job.
That's cool.
you pulled it off. Yeah. I'm wondering how things are going to change now that it's like legal almost everywhere and there's like giant growing facilities popping up in all these places.
Probably a good reason why we needed to get
get it made now, because it'd be weird if you're hiking and just like walking into a growing facility that's like a legal place.
But I've actually read that the situation for a while became worse in California when all the medical places came up, so they needed to supply them, and there wasn't like a legal sanctioned place. Now I think it's probably not as big of a deal, but there's other places in the U.S. that's still an issue. But for a while, it was actually becoming a big deal in California, which is where a lot of the articles I read.
They had to keep up with the supply, so they're using like random
illegal
people.
Stuff.
Yeah. Mm. Right. I heard about that stuff.
Yeah, let's just say I read enough where if I'm ever hiking and come across a pot.
You're going to run the other way. So, Stacey, we haven't got to talk to you because of all the technical issues. And let's just hope that her voice isn't still crackly randomly. Yeah. Like, that would be weird.
Yeah, drive through window.
Yeah. But can you maybe talk a little bit about your character in the movie and without giving too much away? Because you said it is available to buy today.
Yeah, it's on Amazon and Family Video and VOD, different places.
So go do that when you're done with the show today.
Yes, please.
Everyone, yeah. Wait till the show's over and then go buy it. Or, you know, have another window up and do it. But, yeah, Stacey, do you want to talk a little bit about your character in the movie?
Yeah. Donna's great. I think she's definitely my favorite character that I've ever gotten to play. My favorite role for sure. I went into it not knowing what it felt like to actually be stoned. And so that worried me a little bit because for lack of trying, I just, for some reason, nothing would work on me. And everyone's like, you're trying too hard. It's like, is that even a thing? so I decided instead of making her the overplayed, super stoned, no more brain cells type of traditional stoner, I base her more off of my friends who partake regularly, and they're able to get more done because of it. Their homes are spotless. Their work is impeccable, and they're creatives and they're focused, and it's just a part of who they are and their routine and what they do. I have friends with anxiety who thrive. You know, mm-hmm. They wake and bake every single day, and because of that, they're actually able to live their lives, you know, more fulfilled that way. And so that's more along the lines of the direction that I wanted to take with her.
Yeah.
With all the ash and all the allergies, so the red, watery eyes just came naturally.
That wasn't makeup, you're telling me? Well, I'm gonna say that effects guy was on point. Allergies. Sorry, Wolfie, you were saying something?
Yeah. I was gonna say the introduction of Stacy's character is probably one of my favorite scenes in the movie, where they open the trunk and she's just sitting there, and I'm loving it.
That was my, you know. Subtle reference to Fast Times when you meet Spicoli the first time. I think the
right
opens, the Scooby Van opens and it's all the smoke. Yeah.
What's really funny about that is as a kid, every time we would road trip, I always stayed in the back with the luggage.
So that was.
So it was very felt right at home. I did.
My next door neighbor's younger sister used to get car sick, so. When they would road trip, she would be in the back of the station wagon, the same thing, just laying down with all the luggage. Mm-hmm. So.
Laying down, I'm like, I think that would make it worse. You have to be in the front if you have car sickness, but.
Yeah.
She was like, we don't want you to throw up here, so you
get to throw up. Like, here's a bag, go in the back, kid.
Well, it was one of those 70 station wagons that were like 90 feet long, you know, and the back window rolled down, so you just.
Oh, nice.
If you're going to hurl, you know, he's aiming at the car behind you.
Well, you know what cures motion sickness?
Oh, Jesus. see, we make fun of Leo every week because we have a sponsor that we want to, you know, advertise, but his segues are horrible. That's why.
So, well, you know, I'm talking about Deadly Grounds Coffee. We absolutely love them. If you're looking for some great coffee, head on over to Deadly Grounds Coffee. You'll find information in the show notes. But don't listen to me. Here's a zombie talking about Deadly Grounds Coffee.
Everyone thinks because you're a zombie, you don't know good coffee. Well, they're wrong. There's only one brew that gets my seal of approval. Deadly Grounds Coffee is my guilty pleasure. The aroma is so intoxicating. It brings all of my neighbors out of the woodwork. Deadly Grounds Coffee. Coffee to die for and zombie approved. It's good to get a little deadly. Use the front door! Oh, they're so disgusting.
It'll last me forever.
Do they have like multiple locations or something? Or?
No, it's literally it's mail order and then they're at conventions. Like they're based out of Connecticut. They just brew their own coffee and it's really good stuff.
Yeah, that's the all.
You do realize you're giving Dylan an idea for the next movie. It's like, okay,
it's like,
coffee caffeine massacre. Well, instead of them all being still in their eyes, they're like bugged out of their head.
There's something in this coffee.
What you could do is, treat it like Freddy Krueger. Instead of being like burned in a furnace, he's, the creature is emerged burned in a coffee roasting facility.
A very angry
or whatever. I feel like so green where the coffee is people.
I think
Ron's
not that title either. I think
Ron's
something here.
Still have Tom. I'm sorry, I'm assuming we're back and he's heard all this.
Yeah, enemies. We are back.
Sorry, Tom. Congratulations again. So Tony, we haven't heard from you.
I was sharing, so usually middle of the show I'll pop my, pop in. But
pop in,
and that's why I don't talk because I can't. But anyway, usually going into movies, I don't watch trailers or whatever. So here in 420 Massacre, I thought it was going to be one of those, teen movie kind of deals where it's a very female driven cast. And was that the plan from the beginning, or did you guys play around with, you got two here in 420 Massacre? I was expecting the two couples and then the random people going, but it was more, like I said, a very strong female cast. Was that the plan from the beginning, or did you toy around with that, or?
More or less, when we, we have two separate stories about this, but I'll tell my story, you can tell our story. So when I was writing it, I did with the traditional male-female relationships and also, and when you're first spacing out the story and had the trope, so there's the final girl, the stoner guy originally, the jerky jock kind of guy, the princess sex bot. So I still kept those tropes, but actually it was the Donna character, the stoner character, that I did the first gender switch, so to speak. At some point while I was going to write it, I was like, all right, we've seen the stoner guy a billion times over. I've known chicks, stoner chicks, so let's have a stoner female character. And then also based upon the discussions we were having about having more, female led and centric kind of movies, at some point I was like, well, why don't I switch them all to women? And it kind of created this interesting dynamic and extra interesting layer to it. So what was your feeling?
I don't know why he thinks we have two different stories.
Is that basically what?
I mean, that's essentially okay. What happened. Okay. I think, we had been having a lot of conversations just about the lack of positive females in horror films in general, but in movies in general. And, as a lovely writer director, husband to a female actor, it happened over conversations. We love The Descent. The Descent is one of my favorite movies. And, just knowing that they changed all of those characters to female, but and that's I think one of the reasons that the movie's so great is because instead of keeping the female characters in these not clearly defined, not really fleshed out, essentially just like fodder for a murderer or a killer or whatever, it's so much more dynamic because in general, people write movies for men and the characters for them are usually better and they have.
We didn't change much about once it was gender switch. We didn't change much about dialogue or the characters or the scenes too much.
No.
We just kind of kept
changed the name.
Yeah. Which is actually how we ended up with the lesbian characters, which was another thing that we wanted to treat just as a regular character instead of some type of caricature or like titillation moment. Mm-hmm. So I think that's how kind of that all happened. It was just good writing for women. it was exciting.
For example, your character was originally male in the original concept. Yeah. Her character was the, you know, the Crispin Glover and Final Chapter kind of thing, the pining over the final girl.
Yeah.
You know,
mine's like the nerdy one that doesn't get it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think it worked out really well. There were, I mentioned this in the other interview, but there was a little zhuzhing around like some of the stuff. But for the most part, the characters were kept who they were.
Maybe for like the jock asshole character, we made it less
rapey.
I heard that earlier.
Side note that a little less rapey. Yeah. I think that the choice of having all these main characters be female, I think definitely helped the movie as well to stand out, you know. So if you had kept it the way that you originally wrote it, I think it would have maybe even blended in a little bit more with, you know, the thing that I maybe wouldn't have watched if I was skipping through on Netflix. But it was really good. Like
stand out.
Yeah, and the diversity between the characters was great. They all had their own thing, you know. And again, it was just very well done. I'm very happy that I saw it.
I'm happy you saw it. Like,
well, thanks. Let's be happy together. All right. Sorry.
Well,
do you have any thoughts on it?
Well, actually, what I was going to do is I was going to play the trailer one more time. Well, we'll probably play it a couple more times because we got about half an hour left. But here's a trailer for 420 Massacre.
How far is it?
3-4 miles.
I'm telling you, though, this place is super creepy.
What are you girls doing out here?
On our way up to Higgins Creek.
Yeah, we're going to camp there for the weekend.
Well, five of you are out here by your lonesome, huh?
Listen, we have an issue up here with gorilla growers.
Are you serious?
It's 420. It is our collective duty to blaze up on this day.
What in God's name are you talking about?
Happy birthday! Love you.
Do you hear that? Help me! It's coming for me!
Why would someone want to kill you?
The wind.
Rachel, where are you?
Turn anywhere, just keep on going straight. But it stuck with me since high school.
Okay. So that was a trailer for 420 Massacre, out on VOD and DVD right now. So make sure you go check out your copy. It's available on Amazon and iTunes. Where else is it available?
Mainly just Amazon right now and in demand, Comcast, Ubiquiti, probably the iTunes in May.
Okay.
I think Voodoo's going to be in May too, so we're going to roll it out. But right now, probably Amazon's the easiest and best place to get it.
Awesome. You said family video
family
as well?
Video. Family video, you can rent it too, yeah.
And I think it's on BestBuy.com.
Well, yeah, it's the DVD you can buy on various .com sites like Best Buy, Barnes & Noble, and that kind of thing.
Or you could walk yourself into Amoeba Records, and I think they have two copies.
Two? Well, maybe soon.
Oh, man.
If I was there, I would buy one.
So you better run fast, Kev.
This is why we're about to be best friends.
So we were going to come back with Yo-Yo for his thoughts on 420 Massacre.
Yes. Unlike several of the other people on the show, I actually do kind of enjoy stoner comedies a bit. So though I was happy to find it was a not your typical, like, Garth Guillen coming in with that name, you assume, the name makes me assume certain things and be pleasantly surprised by what I found. Not having it be a male-centric aspect was a great choice. Pretty fleshed out characters and, you know, lots of gore. So, I mean.
Good gore.
Yeah, good gore.
Good gore. Gotcha. I really like the score of the movie, too.
Yeah.
It's by Angelo Defoe was our composer on it, but I tried to go for a long story short, she was my old neighbor in Hollywood, and she used to do these experimental kind of, like, different kind of instruments than you would normally put together. And it's very melodic, beautiful, and weird and creepy at the same time. So when I did this project, I kind of wanted to do this little, like more like an Italian horror movie, like Goblin or something like that, to kind of give it the weird soundscape. So, but yeah, and then I appreciate that they liked it, Yo-Yo. It was,
labor of love.
Labor of love, so to speak, yeah.
Now we haven't talked about you guys have obviously been in the industry for a bit. What do you guys have in the works? Like, 420 Massacre is out. What's next for you guys?
Well,
a nap.
Getting
there's gonna be a nap in there.
We got a premiere screening on Friday, April 20th, of course, out here in LA, the California Institute of Abnormal Arts.
Abnormality.
I think it's Abnormal Arts. I think he uses both, but whatever. I think either way you'll find it. It's a really cool place. It's like a mix of an opium den meets a circus sideshow kind of design and trinkets and stuff he has in there.
That's another reason why I want to go to California. We don't get stuff like that out here.
Dude, come hang out. We're already best friends.
All right. I'll talk my wife into it.
I could
do a double date.
But I figured that was a cool
movie. Yeah, I could dig the circus sideshow. I worked at a carnival for many years. So.
Oh, no way.
He was a carny. He was a carny.
I was a carny.
Did you work like the game?
2 years.
Whatever? What was your position?
I did the games. I did the games. I did the pony rides for the kids.
He was in a pony suit.
When we went into the Western Idaho Fair, John Strong's sideshow came in, so I got to check out all that stuff.
I actually, again, it's totally off subject, but the band, I've played in the band for like ever, and we actually opened for a circus sideshow that was touring, and we opened for a circus sideshow once.
That's awesome.
We played. Wow. Yeah, it was pretty great. Yeah.
My brother is a guitar player, and he actually toured with Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey.
What?
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
On a train for a couple years.
That's the top echelon there.
Yeah. Look, I just played with a crappy sideshow in a rock club.
I guess to answer your question, what are we doing after this? No, we're just getting the movie out, and then hopefully it does well, and hopefully we can flip it and make another one. I've got ideas for a sequel or a follow-up of the horror genre. My idea is to kind of do something more, like a giallo mystery with slasher elements.
You just sold Wolfie on that. He's all over it.
We saw him.
I love Italian horror, man. I mean, I'm all over that. So Vanessa was talking a little bit about giallo before we started sit down. And
he'd be so proud of me. I knew the answers.
Oh, yeah. She knew the answer. What's giallo mean, you know? And she's like, yellow. And I'm like, do you know why yellow? And she's like, it has something to do with the paperback covers. But because each color represented like a different maturity level. Like yellow was like basically X.
I did not know.
You know,
I did not know that that was why.
Yeah.
I think it was just because it was cheap paper or something like that. Like
no, So the covers are the yellow covers would be, you know, it's like they were the crimes of passion or or if there was like too much sex in them. So it's like if a kid wanted to buy a yellow book, they couldn't buy a yellow book because it's yellow. So the ones that were like green, blue, and red were you know the young adult stuff, and then yellow just meant okay, you got to be this high to ride this ride, basically, you know.
Like that brings him back into his carny days. To be this high to ride this ride.
Full circle. We're going just full circle.
Yeah. So what about like Stacy? Do you have any other projects in the works, or what are you working on?
Film-wise, nothing on the books just yet. We are moving into episodic season here, television season in Los Angeles. So hopefully some stuff starting to roll. And then also I'm going to be doing stand up at Flappers Comedy Club in Burbank next Thursday, the 26th. So
that's awesome. Do you do that regularly?
I have recently fallen into it and am becoming quickly obsessed. So hopefully it will become a much more regular.
That's awesome. I totally respect stand-up. I love stand-up. Actually, before I came on here today, I was watching roast battles on YouTube from stand-up in New York. And I was like, I love stand-up and I have nothing but respect for people that can actually get up there and do it. Like, I would be terrified.
Because it's all you, at least with a play or something, or you know, you have like other people you can back you up.
I mean, you know, on the flip side, as an actor, a lot of what there's so much proactivity that you can be doing, but a lot of times you're waiting on something that someone else has written for you or something you can audition for. With stand up, there's a place every night of the week. Usually, a lot of stand ups will sometimes go out and perform 2, 3, 4, 5 times a night at the different clubs, and it's yours. You have ownership of it. So I really appreciate that as well. So it's just another creative outlet. So
yeah, well, that's awesome. That's great. I mean, my biggest worry for that would be like hecklers, or just the audience. Because I actually just went to a comedy show recently, and a fight broke out, and then in the audience, a fight broke out. Two women just started like fist fighting, and it was ridiculous.
I've seen this movie, actually.
it was ridiculous, and I'm just sitting there like, oh, this is like no one shut up the whole time. I felt so bad for the comics that were on stage. I'm like, people pay like $25 to get in,
and
they didn't shut up.
That sounds like a good venue, though. I mean, that sounds like it'd be a good time.
this was a hall. Like this is like it was for charity and stuff. Like, it was bad. It was bad. But no, that's great. Keep up with it because it's.
Thank you.
I love stand up. So, anyone else? Anything else in the works? Anybody? No.
Yeah, we're just. Like I said, we're just right now focused on getting this.
He's petting that dog.
Oh, hi, yeah. And he says, hi, hi.
Now, did you have a convention run with this movie, or did you...
like a film fest run?
So...
No, it didn't really... there's reasons for that, long story short.
We had a series of unfortunate events that made it so that we weren't ready to have the movie out in time for festival and convention circuits.
Yeah. Long story short, we had a robbery, some hard drives were stolen, I had re-edit the movie, all that fun stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, I think we heard about that. Yeah, we heard about that.
I remember hearing about
that when Jamie was on the show.
Oh, yep.
Yeah. So I came home one day, just real quick, in the middle of the day, and my puppies were outside, and I was like, oh, fuck. Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right. Sorry, say whatever the fuck you want. I don't care.
How did I let the dogs out? That's crazy. And then I got to the door, I got to my front door, and the screen had been pulled out. And I was like, did they push it in from the inside out? Do they need to get out? What happened? And I walked in to realize that somebody had pulled it open and broken into our house and stole basically everything they could get their hands on. And I called Dylan to tell him he was at work, and he was like, where are my hard drives? And I was like, where are they? What color are they? And he was like, go to the computer, right next to the computer, they're orange, look at them. And I went up and I was like, we don't have them.
Oh.
So they had stolen the edited movie and the backup edited movies.
So basically I had more or less started from square one, and You know, just the way the timing worked out, I was like, well, we have to get it out for April in time for April 20th this year, instead of sitting on it and figuring out what we're going to do. So
yeah,
so that's what happened.
That's crazy.
So did you have to go back and reshoot anything?
No, the DP had his own backup of the video files and audio files. I had the backup drive, like she said, which I was saving, you know, work on when I felt like if I didn't have anything backed up online or
on the desktop. We learned about the cloud.
Yeah.
At that time.
So the lesson is back your stuff up 10 ways from Sunday. Is the thing. Use a cloud.
Yeah, no doubt.
Have the project file. The project file ended up being the key. Luckily, I had an EDL. I don't know if you guys know. I'm assuming you guys know some editing terms. But I had an EDL where I was able to go back to a previous cut of the movie and link up some footage. But for the most part, I had to kind of redo it. So I just, it was like, 6 months work, 4 months work or something. Yeah. It's all gone. So wow. I took a week off work and just cracked out on it and re-edited the movie. And I was almost done with it too when the robbery happened. And it went from being like probably a 90-minute movie to like an 84-minute movie. Because when I went back, I was like, why am I editing this shit again? You
know, so yeah, I was actually going to ask if there was anything that you like, if you're like, oh, you know what, I think I did it better this time than I did last time, like on a particular like edit or something.
I think pacing wise and stuff, I think it ironically it benefited from me having to do that, because when I was originally done with the movie, it was probably gonna be like 90-92 minutes, and then so it's a lot more concise than...
Having not edited either of them, but saw both versions of it, I think the second version was definitely better. He was just less precious about it. And I think ultimately that makes it clip along faster. And I think it just makes for a better movie.
It's an unfortunate event that caused it.
I wish it on my worst enemy, but you know.
Did they ever, did anything ever get like figured out, like what happened or no? That sucks.
They couldn't find any fingerprints and it was just.
Well, I mean, we're kind of small potatoes crime in L.A.
Right.
Yeah.
Broke into our house and stole.
I guess, yeah.
Yeah, with a TV, hard drives, and a bunch of random crap. You know, like a piggy bank, you know?
They stole Dylan's, I bought him this Raphael Ninja Turtles piggy bank. I fucking stole the piggy bank.
Son of a bitches.
Well, that's the thing. When we do, like, this stuff, that's, you know, when you hear low budget movies or whatever, you have no idea what goes on behind the scenes. And that's why, you know, as bad of a, you know, situation and stuff, I mean, people just don't understand. They watch a movie and they're like, oh, you know, they're like, oh, well, this movie was made for nothing. They don't know the story behind it. That's why I love having stuff like this that shows you, you know, there's so much that goes into them. That's why not everybody makes movies. I mean, everybody tries nowadays.
A lot of people assume too that if a movie's made and out there to buy, you think that it cost $1 billion to make it, and you think like, oh, you have the money, whatever. You probably, you know, you don't. You actually sat there and you slaved over it yourself. It's not just like, all right, I'm done. Let me give it to my editor. He can take care of it. I'm not even gonna. After this, I'm done with it. You know, like, I mean, that's. I mean, I don't know on the physical disc. Is there going to be special features where you would talk about this? Because I think that stuff's interesting.
We actually got into this may have been the first time we've talked about the whole robbery thing, but we did do a commentary track. I think we mentioned it on the commentary track. But there's an audio commentary with me, Vanessa, and Kyle, who is the DP. Then we have interviews with all the ladies. And we do another special feature with Jib Storm, who plays the ranger in it. He's had a crazy long career, and we just kind of talks about different stories about the business and, you know, all that.
Yeah.
Well, I'm a fan of special features, and that's why we buy a lot of the stuff, because you're not going to get the special features on Netflix.
Nope.
You're not, you know.
I believe you guys. Well, we all have the shelves back there. We got
Yeah.
See. All
right. Keeping the movies are in front.
Us three are keeping it alive. Right?
Well, yeah, everyone.
My collection is downstairs.
Yeah.
Mine's are in front of me.
Yeah, for the amount of knowledge that Wolfie has, his collection shows for it too. Like, he's got a giant collection. So, he's so big that he can't be in the same room with it at the same time.
You have a whole wing for your stuff. That's awesome.
It's called the Doom Room for, you know, for a reason.
Because it could be an avalanche at any moment. That's a good way to die, though, right?
So, yeah, I'm all for it. After the robbery, did the 90-minute version ever make an appearance? I mean, did it wind up on the internet anywhere? Or
as far as I know, I assume what happened is mostly they were picking up electronics and, you know, stupid stuff. Like they stole like the TV speaker, but then take the subwoofer with it. You know, it's just, these weren't, this was an Ocean's 11 or whatever. Yeah. So I'm sure it got wiped clean or it's in a box at a swap meet somewhere and someone sold it for $5 or whatever. So yeah, but as far as I know, at least so.
Yeah. Swap meet, just like a hard drive. Way. Like, I mean, yeah, just like, what's on the? Can I just check out that hard drive? And like, you plug it into a computer and just punch the guy in the face. It's yours.
So, quick question on the editing. What is your software that you prefer?
This movie I did on Premiere and we shot on the Red and it handled the footage really well. I know that I've used Final Cut before on my previous projects. I forget which version. I think I used the version before they fucked it all up with the 10 or whatever. And,
yeah.
But coming into this, I heard Premiere was the way to go, and I tested it out a little bit and it seemed to work just fine. So.
Nice.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. I used Final Cut X or 10 or what it was for a while, and we had a big crash, lost a ton of footage, and that's when I moved over to Premiere for our stuff and absolutely love Adobe Cloud.
Yeah, I love Premiere too. I don't know if you've found, I know sometimes it won't let you save a project after a while, so I have to rename it. Have you ever run into that?
No, because a lot of times I'll start a project from scratch because, you know, we're pushing out so many episodes a week, so it's,
Yeah, I noticed there's a little couple bugs here and there with Premiere, but for the most part, it's pretty good. And when I've had issues, you can do that whole online thing where the guy walks you through it. Yep. You know, so they have a really good system.
Yeah. The only thing is I recently switched over to PC, and, you know, things just work so much better on Mac. And I'm going to bitch about this all the time. But, you know, I love the speed of my PC. I love being able to, you know, if something goes wrong, we can crack it open and fix it. But just the Mac ecosystem, I miss.
But you were bitching about the Mac before you switched to a PC.
I know, so. Because yeah. the video card died, and it was like $600 to replace a video card. Which is...
So instead you just bought a computer for like $4,000.
Yeah.
You're a genius. You're a genius.
Hey, that's why you keep me around.
Yeah.
So, anyway. So it sounds like Macs are still the best for designing and that kind of work.
Yeah, it's just everything just flows so much easier on the Mac. You know, PC is still a little kludgy on PC, but, you know, you get your trade-offs. You know, it's your equipment's definitely a lot cheaper and a lot faster.
Just want to point out that we went from talking about a movie to computer preferences.
It revolves around the movie, kind of.
That's why we make so much money on our shows. Anyways... 420 Massacre, you can go find this today on Amazon.
Yeah.
Right? Family yeah. Video and other areas. And when did you say it's going to be released wider? When is this going to happen?
Come May, we'll have more outlets. Like, I know iTunes and Vudu are there. I think we're going to get Xbox and PlayStation. That's still in the works. That'll be about it. And then we're going to... You know, I'm working on Shudder and Showtime and that kind of stuff, but that's probably going to be, if it's going to happen, be later in the year.
Yeah, or you can go to Amoeba and buy one of the two copies, that's there. But send one to me if you're going to do it. Buy two, I'll pay you back. Yeah. Promise. Thanks.
Well,
it's good that way.
We definitely urge you to check out 420 Massacre. We absolutely loved it, and what we're going to do is we're going to play the trailer one last time before we wrap things up. Here we go. Trailer for 420 Massacre.
Thanks.
How far is it?
3-4 miles?
I'm telling you, though, this place is super creepy.
What are you girls doing out here?
On our way up to Higgins Creek.
Yeah, we're going to camp there for the weekend.
Well, 5 of you out here by your lonesome, huh?
Listen, we have an issue up here with gorilla growers.
Are you serious?
It's 420. It is our collective duty to blaze up on this day.
What in God's name are you talking about?
Happy birthday! Love you. You hear that?
Help me! It's coming for me!
Why would someone want to kill you?
The wind.
Rachel, where are you?
Yeah, like chapters.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a
like an addendum.
Right. Yeah.
There's this synopsis and a index and everything.
Yeah. There's stuff that you did under different names too. That
yeah, yeah. You did some smut.
Yeah.
Did some like Skedemax stuff.
The bills, man. Yeah.
Oh, and
our next guest is here.
I know. So what we're gonna do is let me see. Let me see if I can kick him out real quick. okay. I'm gonna remove you, and we'll.
Sorry, Brian. We'll be right back. We're just wrapping up the show.
Okay. Okay. We'll wrap things up really quick. So we'll do the rundown. Dylan and Vanessa, where do you like people following you?
The 420 Massacre Facebook page, I believe, if you go to the URL, it's the Hike Productions, but if you do 4/20 Massacre, it should come up. Then we're on Twitter too, which I think is 4FOUR20 Massacre, or if you type it in, it'll probably come up as well. It's probably the best spots for, it'll have news and updates on the movie, and then I do my blogging kind of stuff about horror movies or cult movies in general.
Okay.
Now, my Twitter is Vanessa Rose P, VNESSARoseP. That's my Twitter.
And Stacy?
You guys can find me on Instagram at Stacy Danger, StaceyDanger.
And go see her do stand up.
I haven't done the Instagram yet. I'm still. Old school with the Twitter and Facebook. I was like, nah, I want to do it, but now I'm thinking,
okay,
I
Grandpa,
I need to migrate over.
Get off my yard, get off my lawn, whatever.
Exactly. Have you guys done the Horror Amino thing? Or the
I'm on that.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I did like a Q&A screening of the movie on there, and people seem to, that seems to be a cool service too.
Yeah.
The rest of the dorks, you know where to follow them, but check out the show notes down below or up above, depending on where you're watching us, to make sure you follow these fine people. And check out 420 Massacre, available for VOD and DVD today.
He's like right in front of your face.
We'll catch you guys later. Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
I hope you enjoyed this show. If you did, please make sure you subscribe to the show wherever you listen to your podcast. If you want to be part of a future show, you can find us over on YouTube or Facebook, where we broadcast all our episodes multiple times a week live in front of an online audience where you can interact with us and our guests. Our main show, The Dorkening, is produced live on Sundays at 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Pacific. The Wicked Horror Show comes at you Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. And the Ultimate Video Game Show zooms in on Thursdays at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. This has been a Dorkening Network production powered by New Media Promotions. You can learn more about our network by heading on over to www.thedorkening.com.